things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week 6 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And yee-haw.
5-1.
Yeah, let me bring that mic over to you there, buddy.
Yeah, so I'm not yelling at you.
Screwed up my hearing aids.
Undefeated in the division now.
Yes.
We beat every other NFC North team.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you start a season.
Yes, that is a nice way to go. And boy, you know, it seems like whenever you play, I can't speak for the other divisions, but in the NFC North, whenever you play typically two opponents from the same division,
it always ends up being a stupid game.
A weird game. Lots of stuff. Controversy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy around the refs in this game. What are kind of your feelings around all the discussion going on after the game with the refs and the calls and everything?
Well, I think this, personally, I think that it's the NFL brought it on. And I think part of it is with the instant replay and the interference, pass interference. Also think that when they tell the refs, excuse me, to, you know, if it's err on the side of safety. And so, I mean, that's pretty wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope they get it figured out because it is changing the game.
I think part of the problem is that the Packers always get the call and that they're always winning these games because of the refs.
No, he's being sarcastic because we're in Viking land.
We are in the middle of Minnesota. But yeah, you know, maybe the calls did affect the game to a point, but calls affect every game.
Well,
that's what the refs are there for and what they do. And we've had plenty of games those calls don't go our way. Like the past two seasons, you know, yeah, you need a little bit of fortune to go your way to win some games throughout a season. We haven't had that the last two seasons. Like,
mm-hmm.
Clay Matthews.
Are you okay?
Yeah, we had that affect multiple
games
last year, and there was the Fail Mary years ago in Seattle. Like, you know, mm-hmm. calls are going to affect the game. That's
wasn't
just
there
what
the
they
one
do.
It was against the Cardinals a few years ago? It was like a passing play. I can't remember, but yeah,
I think you're thinking of the wild card game from like 6 years ago.
Yeah, it could be.
It was I think the season after we won the Super Bowl, we were in the wild card against the Cardinals, and it was just a, you know, air show the whole game. I think it was like 40-something to 40-something in the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
and Rodgers kind of got hit on a play. Kicked the ball up in the air, they grabbed it, ran it into the end zone for a touchdown to win the game. And it showed afterwards, you know, grabbing the face mask.
Ah.
But
well,
no
that
call.
Is part of the issue in this game was the hands to the face from Detroit.
On Flowers.
Yep.
Yeah.
For Detroit against Bakhtiari. And there was two calls. The first one, the NFL came out and said that the second one shouldn't have been called. But the mm-hmm. first one, they said, should have been called.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, because they showed, like you said, during the game, they kept showing the replay, but they showed just a little segment of it where he wasn't doing hands to the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you watch the whole play, he has his hands on the top, like right under the guy's chin on the pads. But then later it comes up and like punches him kind of under the chin.
Right.
So that's illegal hands to the face. The second one, maybe it wasn't illegal hands to the face, but just ask Clay Matthews if you get called for doing something once, maybe don't do it that way a second time.
Well, and I think that, you know, going back to Clay, I believe we talked about it at the time that it affects your gameplay. I mean, you're an aggressive player,
mm-hmm.
and so now you got to change the way you play the game. But
mm-hmm.
it's hard. I mean, it's the game is so quick, so fast, and it's just that these refs are asked to do a lot, And they got now they got like this league official that can oversee all the games and make changes that he sees needs to be fit. And time again, like there was a point in this game that they could have called a review on a pass interference, but the coaches are afraid to do it because of what the NFL has started. It's got to be just way out there.
I mean, that's how the NFL works. They introduce a new concept, like being able to review pass interference. They make it vague as heck, and then they spend a whole season, maybe two seasons, of just having no idea how to enforce the new rule to then see, have like a data set of how not to do it, basically.
Well, what I was going to say is that it's, I think it's like been thrown 19 times, and I don't know if any of them got overturned yet this year. So the coaches are like, why am I going to waste a timeout if it's not going to work? It's proven that they're not going to overturn it.
Yeah. So we won this game.
Yes, we did.
At the end of the game, 23-22.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of talk saying it was given to the Packers by the refs. The thing is, we've seen time and again, and I'll admit that second one was a bad call, no problem. But we've seen time and again that refs' calls will affect a game one way or the other, but it's also not the only play that matters in a game. Because the Packers struggled in the first quarter.
Big time.
They gave up chunk plays on first downs, you know. But they gave up one touchdown that we're not even sure was a touchdown at the goal line. They went for it on fourth down. They called it a touchdown. It was very hard to see.
Right.
The guy's helmet obviously passed the line, but it was hard to see the ball. They just went with it, you know, touchdown.
Right.
There's a chance that wasn't. After that, they were in the red zone multiple times, and we stopped them. We held them to field goals every time. So obviously it's not ideal for them to get field goals, but that's the difference between a winning team and a losing one, especially when you have Aaron Rodgers on your team, to be holding them to field goals, give your offense a chance. So I don't think we won this game because of the refs. I think we won this game for a myriad of reasons. We didn't give up a touchdown after the first quarter. We outdid them in first downs 22-13. We had 447 total yards to their 299. Rushing plays, we averaged, 5.9 yards per rush. They averaged 2.8. You know, it's just a number of things, even time of possession, 33 minutes for us, just under 27 for them. So in every aspect of the game after the first quarter, besides turnovers, because we had three turnovers, we outplayed them. So I think it was going to be a close game because it was a close game, not because some refs came in and decided maybe we should make sure this is a close game. Because especially in the first half, there was a number of chunk plays the Packers got that got called back because of holds, kind of phantom holds, where it's like, well, that was ticky-tack. So it's not like it just goes one way. And I think you can kind of see that they played well facing adversity. First quarter didn't go well. Well, the offense moved the ball. They moved the ball without Davante Adams out there and without Geronimo Allison for a lot of the game. So I'm happy with how the team played altogether. I think it's these are the kind of games that you have to win in a season. If you're going to make a Super Bowl run of a season, you're going to have a handful of these stupid games.
I didn't like the way that Detroit was able to start out. I mean, they came out and threw – their first play was a bomb for like 60
yards.
Flea flicker
bomb.
And they but the defense held them to 3 points. That was huge. Next time they got the ball, they throw another bomb
right off the bat.
And that's where they got the 7 from that.
Yeah. I think there's two main reasons behind that. One is Darnell Savage was out at safety. He's been huge for us as a rookie at safety, our, you know, first round pick. But he's also been a leader getting people organized on that defense. I think him and Martinez really feed off each other well as far as organizing and controlling the defense. So I think having him out was a big part of it. Another big part of it is the Lions had a bye week leading into this. So they had 2 weeks to come up with gadget plays and, you know, how are we going to attack them? Okay, we know when we come out on first down, Mike Pettine typically likes to put bigger guys on the field. So if we stretch it on first down, that won't allow him to do that the rest of the game. And that's what we saw. He got burned early on downs with those two big plays in the first down. on first down. But then later in the game, we didn't run that package anymore. We switched to nickel, where you have more guys willing or able to stop, you know, speed guys able to stop the pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we adjusted to what they were doing, but they came into it with 2 weeks of preparation to take advantage of us at the beginning like they did.
I think that first quarter, our offense was out of sync, and mm-hmm. and we had a lot of miscues and drop passes.
We had drop passes all through the game.
And penalties, mm-hmm. and like you talked about. And it just the defense had a nice stop to start the second quarter, mm-hmm. And that kind of, I think, started a trend, a little bit of momentum shift.
Yeah, I think so, and I think we saw again the impact that the Smith brothers are making on this defense, where last year a team comes out and does that, or last two seasons a team comes out and does that to us in the first quarter, and you can almost guarantee we're going to be pretty lackluster the rest of the game, especially on defense.
Mm.
But it just felt like this team faced adversity and said, no, we're going to come and punch you right back in the mouth,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we have a defense.
Yeah.
So that was good to see. I think drop passes, like you mentioned, were probably the ugliest part of this game for me.
Yeah.
We saw it from a number of players. Geronimo Allison, I think he was 7 targets, 3 catches. Let me confirm that quick.
There you go.
Yeah, 7 targets, 3 catches. So you need more out of a guy who's supposed to be your number two receiver than that.
Mm-hmm.
He went out with, I think they called it a head and chest injury.
Yep.
It kind of looked like it was probably his shoulder or elbow, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. And then, where is his name here? Shepard as well. Darius Shepard was...
Don't get me started on Shepard.
Yeah, a huge liability this game, where he had a punt he tried to like catch over his head.
Yep.
Like a pass for
yep.
some reason, didn't call fair catch, fumbled that. He had the catch by the end zone that bounced off his face, and they
intercepted
it. So
yep.
you can't really blame that one too much on Rodgers. You hit a guy in the face mask, you expect him to catch it.
But that punt that he muffed, that would have been great field position, just calling fair catch. And we also had, and let's speak of, we're talking about special teams, also had a, I don't remember who it was, the player it was, but we recovered a punt. And
instead of letting the ball bounce
further. We punted. Instead of letting it get closer to the end zone, they stopped it.
Because we got a good roll. It was like, really.
Yeah,
stopping.
And they stopped it like at the 20 or 25, and it was like,
you
learn the special
you
teams
learned
coach.
That in peewee football.
It's like, what? Come on. What's going on?
Yeah, that was confusing. There's been special team gaffes every week, it feels like. That is frustrating. Lazard came in, you know, brought quite a bit of energy to the receiving corps that we didn't have up to that point. He
right.
had that huge catch for the touchdown where Rodgers went deep to him on the left side. We saw later after the game that Rodgers said Lazard came in back into the huddle, said, no, I got this guy beat. Let me run this route, and
mm-hmm.
I have him. So they did it, threw it up to him, kind of used his body to keep the defender away, and it was just a perfect over-the-shoulder pass.
And I know that Rodgers was doing a little politicking to try and get him in the game because he's like this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that after the game, he goes, you just got to like a guy that's this young, and he's coming in with all this confidence, and he's like, I can do this. I can do
undrafted
this.
Undrafted free agent.
It's crazy. It was Iowa State, I think.
Was it Iowa State? Yeah, I mean, I'm always fine with finding that next, you know, undrafted star. What was Donald Driver undrafted? Is that who I'm thinking of?
I think he
was drafted. There's a receiver I'm trying to think of.
It will come to you before we're done.
So we don't have Adams likely coming up here either.
Mm-hmm.
Geronimo Allison, we don't know the extent of his injury yet, but he's been dropping it anyways. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, we see flashes from him, but no consistency as far as big plays and getting connections
right.
from Rodgers. Do we need to address the wide receiving core if you're
sure.
the GM?
Just bring in Antonio Brown.
Yeah. But would you be looking to add to the receiving core? You
absolutely.
Would?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
I think you're always looking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the names I've been hearing a lot is, one, Emmanuel Sanders, and two, A.J. Green.
Hmm.
I would be happy with you know, adding either. I think AJ Green would obviously be the better star receiver to add to this. I think the AJ Green thing makes sense to fans and to the Packers way more than it makes sense to the Bengals. I don't see them trading him because I don't think they have a ton of incentive to.
They haven't won yet.
But it also hasn't been their GM's MO. They don't really trade.
Okay.
So that makes it kind of hard too, but you never know. Especially since our front office has been more aggressive with trades, free agency, things like that. I hope we bring a guy in, not necessarily because I don't believe in the guys we have on the team right now, but because we need depth.
Right.
We've seen that.
Right.
Receivers are taking some nasty hits. Yep. They're getting knocked out. Their toes are falling off, and they're missing a quarter of a season. You got to be able to adapt and have that next man up, and I just don't know if we have that right now.
What did you think of the 12 men on the field penalty for Detroit?
That was a good one.
At a good time.
Yeah, that was really helpful. You like seeing that 12th man back there counting the players as they get flagged for 12 men, and it's like, you forgot to count yourself.
Uh-oh. You learned that in Pee Wee, too.
Yeah.
But I saw something I didn't that later on, the Packers had 13 men on the field, and the refs let them call a timeout. So that's adding to a little more the tinfoil hat people that say, see, another case.
But when did we have 13 on the field? Did 13 get in the huddle? Did 13 line up?
No.
Then it's not a penalty yet.
Okay.
If we call up,
I can't say for sure.
Yeah. Once they huddle up with more than 11, it's a penalty, or try to line up with more than 11.
Okay.
So if we hadn't done that, we probably got the timeout in time. You know, I might be out on Jimmy Graham. I might be done. I think he's just, it's not, we paid him too much. We thought, you know, he's been such a Hall of Fame stud in the past, but it doesn't feel like he has the talent to go up for these contested catches. Like, that's what we brought him in for, you know, those red zone, end zone, go up for it, grab it. We've seen one of those this season, and it just feels like that energy and that willingness to fight and come down with the ball isn't there. It just, I don't know.
I agree with you. And reading
2 for 5 in this game.
When I look at what I consider neutral type reporting, and they're talking about Graham, and they're like, "Oh, wow, he's pretty much done. He's just not anywhere near the player he was before." There was talk when he was playing really good that he could be a Hall of Fame kind of guy, but no, he's the way he's finishing out his career right now, there's no way.
Trying to look at Packers tight ends, and they gave us Packers tight ends over the course of like the last decade. I just want our current tight ends. First one that comes up is Finley.
By the way, we finished the half, Lions 10. Us 10 and the Lions 13.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to kick a field goal, I believe, at the end of the half and got stopped. I think it was a drop pass. Mm-hmm. That kind of blew it up. Did you find your tight ends?
Yeah, I was trying to think of the guy we drafted who's injured right now. I can't think of it, but I think, you know, he's coming up to be one of our top tight end guys in the future here, and also Robert Tonyan, who we've seen flashes from. He had that huge grab on the sideline a couple weeks ago, and then I think it might have been that play he got injured, that or shortly after he's been out. But I think Mercedes Lewis, he's not the, you know, most athletic receiver out there.
No, he's not the most mobile.
But he's been reliable on catching the ball, and he's a heck of a blocker.
He's a huge dude. Big boy.
And if we have Robert Tonyan behind him, you know, I'm happy with that as far as the receiving threat there. So I don't know. I think we need to move on from Graham because we're just not – we're not seeing it. And I don't know if we're going to.
Do you think that they're still playing him in the hopes that Graham will come around, or we got so much money invested in this guy? Because personally, I think they're smart enough to put the best player on the field.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the money. I think it's the potential. He has the potential to be Jimmy Graham of old. I just don't know if we'll see it.
It's not looking good so far. We're almost at the halfway point.
We also might not know. You know, maybe there's injuries affecting them.
That's true.
It's hard because with the NFL, you don't get a ton of the information.
I was surprised. They put down on my notes the slipping. Both teams were slipping a lot,
and
on
no
the
one
field.
Commented about it.
And the sideline reporter asked the teams, "Is it slippery out there?" And they're like, "No." It's like, "Well, what the heck's going on?" It's not like one
falling.
Or two guys. Yeah. It was like at least a half a dozen.
Jamal Williams was a stud this game.
Oh yeah,
it was good we had him back. Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones seem to be quite the duo.
Yes, they do.
It's almost like you have Aaron Jones, the cutback, who comes in there with the vision, sees the hole and can hit it, and then Jamal Williams, who says, maybe I'll make a cut, maybe I'll run through you.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think he's better this year with his patience.
So. I think so, too. He averaged 7.4 yards a carry.
That's
14
just nuts.
For 104. It is nuts.
104 yards, and he averaged 7.4.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not known for that breakaway speed guy, but he looked pretty good on that 45-yard run. I think, would you say for 10 to 15 of the yards, he had a guy like within a step of him
yes.
who couldn't catch him?
Right. He's a big dude.
He is a big dude. Aaron Jones looked good. No huge flash plays, longest run of 9 yards, but he averaged 4.3.
Which is wonderful.
I think I was pretty happy with our running game all
yeah.
through this because the Lions are known for really trying to stop the run. So the fact that we were able to keep running against them is a big deal.
I'd like to touch on that a little bit about the Lions. They're a good team. They've got a lot of quality players. And you can tell the coaches, what's his name, the head coach for the Lions, the beard. Do you remember?
Belichick's guy.
Yeah, that guy.
I can't think of it. Patricia?
There you go. His system is starting to catch on. They got a new offensive coordinator, and he believes in using, God, I'm blanking today, Matthew Stafford's arm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they're going to be a tough team.
Yeah, I mean, part of their success this season has come from the fact that they now have a running game. It's been a while since Detroit had a running game. Kerryon Johnson has been a good running back for them, and teams have been having a hard time stopping him. He ran 13 times this game, and the Packers held him to 2.6 yards per carry. They had to give up on running the ball because we wouldn't let them, and that changes what a team wants to do. That gets them out of their momentum, mm-hmm. out of their game plan. We saw what happened to the Packers when they came in and were able to use their game plan. They threw all over us in the first quarter.
Yeah, they did.
But then we changed what we allowed them to do, and that's what winning teams do. You adjust throughout a game to mm-hmm. what the other team is doing. We had not done that much the last few seasons.
You know, the third quarter started out, it was a lot like the first quarter. Offense struggled. We only got 3 points. And again, thank goodness for our defense. It kept us in the game. And a lot of the Lions were getting in the zone, but our defense was holding them to field goals.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, and we got a running game like this. It's awesome, and we're still able to get it done.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's been great. I was trying to look up drop passes here. I would say there was at least 6 on Rodgers, drop passes.
Yeah,
do
he we
went
have
20.
That?
No, they don't have it on here.
Son of a gun.
It can be hard to get exactly the right football stats you want.
I know. Especially when you start diving deep.
Mm-hmm. Rodgers threw 39 times, completed 24. I think he could have easily, without the drops, completed 30 to 32 out of those 39. He looked good this game. 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. That wasn't really his fault because it bounced off Shepard's
right.
hands, then his face, and then into the defender's hands.
That was crazy. Same thing happened in the Vikings game.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that consistently throughout the seasons with Rodgers, especially his first interception of the season. I think he always gets a little into the season with no interceptions, and then there's at least that first one that goes off a guy's hands mm-hmm. or something, and then there it is.
Well, he also gets some, like Favre did, where he throws it so hard that a team will try to intercept, and it bounces mm-hmm. off their hands because they're not used to catching it that way.
Yeah. He only took 1 sack this game. I was happy with our line's protection. Basically, they have some guys that can get to the quarterback.
Absolutely.
And Bulaga has just been shut out this season. You
mm-hmm.
know, he's just not allowing anything through. final defensive here. I'm trying to look at who.
Well, you look up that. I was just going to say that the as we were talking about the receivers, and we got bodies, but the quality receivers, it's hurting us, you know, with the drop passes and possible bad routes. Rodgers has gotten really good at the deadpan look instead of in the past where he would just get so upset and you could see it in his face. And now he just kind of looks like his jaw just kind of drops down a little bit and his eyes droop and then just kind of walks around. And it
looks like he's waiting
bottom.
In line at the DMV.
very good. Very good.
So the Smith brothers combined for 2.5 sacks this game. That's a big difference
That's
you're
wonderful.
Making on defense with free agents.
Yeah.
So, you know, very good to see. I think we looked at this the other week and couldn't find it. Any kind of pressure stats, like what percentage of defensive plays are we pressuring the quarterback? Because there was a few we collapsed the pocket in around him and he's throwing with, you know, it's not easy throwing with your own lineman in your face.
Right.
You know, backing up into you. And we were seeing that quite a bit this game.
Yeah, I think it was Smith that he was double teamed and split him and was still able to get in. And how many, we got 2.5 sacks for the Smith brothers. How many did we get total, do you know?
Three total,
okay.
Yeah, I can pull it up here. So, yeah, we had sacks. Ooh, that's for the Lions. One for Za'Darius Smith, 1.5 for Preston Smith, and half of a sack for Fackrell.
We talked. Go ahead.
Fackrell led our team in sacks last season. Think about that.
Wow.
That's sad. nothing against Fackrell. 10 sacks is great.
Did you remember?
But he should not be leading any team in sacks.
Did what I said about his name?
That sounds like a disease.
Or something you go to the doctor, you go, Doc, I'm not feeling good, or I hurt my shoulder. And he goes, oh, you got a Fackrell. We better treat it.
The other thing with, like, Za'Darius and Preston Smith had a huge third down sack this game, is it seems like they're gamers. You know, they step up in those big moments more than anything. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where you see the difference, where it's so hard for scouts to really know if a guy's, especially a quarterback, going to succeed in today's NFL. Because part of it comes down to that intangible, do you know how to just win games? Do you know how to make make that magic happen in the big moments?
Well, and that's a lot of that's attitude too. I wanted to go back on that since we're talking about defense. Shepherd, when he muffed that punt, the defense still held the Lions to 3 points, and it just that's what's got us so excited about this defense. We're 6 games in, and so you're getting a really good sense the quality of players that we have and the scheming.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see it where, you know, they're never going to get a 3-and-out every play of every drive of the game, our defense. But the fact that we can put them in a bad situation, backed up into their own, like against their own red zone, and they can come out and hold them to a field goal, that's huge. And when you have Rodgers on the other side of the ball, that's doubly huge.
Yes. Yeah. So. Well, I think that, It was just a typical crazy NFC North game. Like Sean said, that right now we are the top cat in the league as far in the division because we've beaten everybody. But if you look at it, we're tied with the Vikings as far as our score or our record.
Our percentage.
And they have scored more.
Yeah.
So they are
Their offense has really blown up the last few weeks.
The last couple of weeks, yeah.
Kirk Cousins. I mean, they've had good offensive performances almost every game of the season so far, except for one.
Which one was that?
I don't know. I think they might have played Green Bay.
Yeah, we always make fun of the announcers. Instead of Green Bay, Wisconsin, they go Green Bay, Wisconsin.
It's so weirdly common, too. So this is another Packer-Lions game. You talked about how these division games always get weird. You remember the Hail Mary in Detroit?
Oh, yeah.
So this is now another game that we beat the Lions, and we led the game 0 minutes and 0 seconds of it.
I love it.
So, because look at this. Time of possession leading. 21 minutes, 3 seconds for the Lions. 0-0-0 for the Packers. We did that last season, too.
And the fun thing is the way it ended. Mm-hmm. Because was it Williams who was running the ball?
Yeah.
And he's got it just an open lane to run in, and he just plops down on his butt and starts laughing.
Yeah. I mean, they
he doesn't go in. He stops, like, at the one-yard line.
For anyone who didn't see the game, at the end of it, they were trying to give up a touchdown to the Packers, who were in the red zone. Let them run it in, take the lead so that they could at least get the ball back, have a minute left to try to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So Jamal just sat down at, like, the two-yard line and said, nope, not going in for the touchdown. You know, we want to keep the ball and let the clock run. So
it's and the Lions good were game, out of timeouts.
Yeah, good so. Game awareness.
Yes, that was.
I'm just happy to see that we can go down. We went down 13 points in the first quarter and spent the game working our way back into it and dealing with adversity. Because we probably haven't seen a ton of adversity this season except against, you know, the Eagles.
Yeah.
We had a chance, a few chances late in that game to turn it around, and we didn't. So it's good to see them face adversity and then come out on top.
Matt, I agree with you. Do you like my shirt?
I do like your shirt. Green Bay Packers, Super Bowl, what is that, 35, 45? James, what is XLV?
45.
Yeah.
Read some of the names off the back. That
some of the names?
Yeah.
Atari Bigby.
that's because I think it's fun to go,
yeah,
to go back.
It, well, you don't realize how fast teams turn over.
Yeah.
I'll just pick out some. Desmond Bishop. Bulaga's still here. Jarrett Bush. Oh, God. He was always a headache. Nick Collins. I miss Nick Collins.
Yeah.
Tom Crabtree. Donald Driver. Matt Flynn, the human victory cigar. Jordy Nelson. Clay Matthews, John Kuhn, James Jones, Greg Jennings, A.J. Hawk, B.J. Raji.
Raji!
Raji! So, yeah, just a lot. You don't realize how – the average NFL career is 3 seasons.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. You get used to seeing the big-name guys there year after year,
right,
after year. But, you know, there's 80% of the league turning over behind them. So –
all right. Well, one thing I wanted to go back on, because we're kind of wrapping up on the game, just to let you know, we're recording Wednesday morning with mm-hmm. daycare in full force. We talked about those two hands to the face.
Yeah.
And the last one happened with 1:36 left in the game. So you can imagine, if you're a Lions fan, how hard that would take, especially where you could possibly say, they shouldn't have called it, but there was just a little scrape to the helmet on the first one. But then they come up with this one that shouldn't have been called, and there's no way you can review it. It's a non-reviewable play. So we end up winning the game 23-22, and got to hand it to Rodgers for getting Lazard in. I think that made the difference in getting with the catches.
I think so. I hope we see more of him.
He got like 5 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. He really stepped up. He brought energy to the receiving core. When, I don't know, it just feels like every season we're seeing a few games where Rodgers is trying to throw to second string guys. And it can just get frustrating.
Sure. Sure, it's got to be. I mean, Aaron wasn't perfect. He had a couple of overthrows and stuff like that, but you can't expect him to be perfect either. So, mm-hmm. See, while you're looking for this, I just want to remind folks that I do a little thing called VoiceOver, and if you would please check out my website. It's voiceguynextdoor.com, voiceguynextdoor.com. Little hint, the reason why I use that is that typically when you get scripts for auditions or any kind of recording, they're going to ask you and say, hey, could you just don't sound like, hello, everybody, it's 7:27. They don't want an announcer. Excuse me. Well, we got the weather is changing here in Minnesota. So they just want somebody that sounds natural. So I've worked on it. I practice. I've been training for a few years now. And I'm constantly investing in getting a better quality for you. So if you need anything from telephone, telephony is what they call it, but you know, your voice messaging, if you like to speak to a human, press one. Or if it's just training videos, if you have new employees coming in, instead of having to sit in front of HR for the whole day, you can record stuff, you can put some tutorials together so you're not wasting a lot of time with employees. So just give me a shout, check out voiceguynextdoor.com. Are you ready for the game ball?
I'm ready for the game ball.
All right, brother. Who'd you pick?
Alan, Killer Lizard, Lazard.
You're going with him? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he made the difference at the end of the game.
I do believe he did. I was thinking Williams, but...
Yeah. Do we know who LaFleur gave the game ball to?
I don't know.
No. Yeah, I don't think I saw after this game. I'm always kind of interested to see who they go with for the game ball compared to us. But I like giving it to Lazard. I think he stepped up and made the difference in the game.
He actually looks really sharp.
He does. The only knock I've really heard against him is he doesn't have a full route tree that he can run right now. But
okay,
that's a fixable thing, especially once he gets more playing time.
Well, I think he's going to get a lot more practice time.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially if we don't know the extent to Geronimo Allison's injury, if he's out for a while. Even if he comes back, we have a lot of flashes of talent for Geronimo, and he's a fan favorite. But if he's dropping half of the passes, I think I would prefer Roger Thorne to the guy who catches them.
Absolutely. You know, you reminded me of Graham's one-handed attempt.
Yeah,
I can't get over that.
Don't do it.
It's just like, come on, man.
Because I think when that play happened, that was last week.
Yep.
Neither of us got upset about it watching the original play because we assumed his other arm was grabbed.
Right.
And then they show it. No, he could have put two hands up. He could have tried to catch it like a human being.
You think it's possible that maybe that arm is injured and that's part of the issue?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe that's wishful thinking.
I would say that's okay. More wishful thinking than anything. But there's a chance. You know, you never know.
Hey, nice job today.
Thanks. Doing what?
Doing this.
Oh, I mean, thank you.
People don't realize that Sean's checking stuff out on the computer, and he's writing stuff down, and he's still able to talk. He's got a lot more RAM in his brain than I do. He's got a really high-quality processor.
And you also like my shirt.
It's a very nice checkered shirt.
I just came from a work...
Button down.
I came from an interview, interviewing someone, so I had to look professional, like I knew what I was talking about when I'm asking the questions. And I can't be like, who's this guy in cargo shorts asking me about this?
So, yeah, flip-flops, Burks.
Yeah.
You go from an intense interview, and then you come over here and climb in the booth with me and talk football.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, really, this is nothing. This is so easy. The hard part comes later today. When I go to the dentist.
Oh.
I am not looking for that. That's, we just had a team building exercise at a team meeting I had yesterday, and you're supposed to talk about your irrational fear.
Dentist. Is that really?
I haven't been in years, partly because I didn't have dental insurance, and then even after I had it, I was like, well, I haven't gone this long. Teeth aren't falling out yet.
I'm guilty as well.
I hate it so much.
I don't hate it that much. I just, you know, it's not... Not a thing that I think most people enjoy.
Yeah, I think part of it is I just have never liked it. But the other part is, you know, I have a weird thing about metal, like metal on metal on my teeth.
Yeah.
All they do is touch metal to my teeth. They won't knock it off.
Yeah, when Sean was a little boy, he'd sleep with his mouth open. So I'd put tinfoil in his mouth and then tickle his chin. And so he'd go, oh, 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 oh.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's why they took me away for 2 years.
Oh, good comeback. Good comeback.
Thanks.
Do you want to go over the picks?
Yeah, let's do picks. So last week, we only had two games we picked between because the Bears were on bye. That's what was taking me a while to look it up. I didn't turn the page here. I was looking at the last one. And I'm like, where's the Bears result?
Yeah, yeah.
So no Bears game. It was Eagles versus Vikings. You picked the Eagles. I took the Vikings. Vikings won.
They did. They manhandled them.
They did. Then it was Lions versus Packers. We both took the Packers and got that right. So after, I think, 3 weeks in a row of being tied in our annual pick'em, I have taken a one-game lead.
Oh, no.
Just so you're aware. So you really need to step up.
All right.
Because I think, as history has proven, this is our fifth season, is
yep.
that correct?
Yep.
Whoever kind of takes the lead early in the season doesn't really give it up.
It's usually not one game, though, son. It's usually
I know, one game. But I think two seasons ago, I had like a two-game lead through almost the whole season, and you did the same thing last season. So I think since we're picking from a, finite number of games only right. in the NFC North, it's hard to close a gap.
It is, especially when you throw in the buys. You know what week we have a bye?
I know. Oh, wow. Off the top of your head.
I know.
No notes, no Google.
I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Mike knows it. It's going to be embarrassing if you get it wrong. Now.
It's I won't get it wrong. It's week 11. So
week
that's
11
pretty deep.
By. That
pretty
is a deep, deep buy.
Do you like that? Do you like that it's typically for years we would be like at week 8.
I like week 8. I like the middle of the season buy. I am happy with week 11 because we're not playing with the walking wounded right now. We don't have tons of injuries hampering us. I think we had 13 guys on our injury report last week.
Yeah.
But then when it came down to the end of the week and we had to finalize it, 3 guys were out.
Right.
I mean, at this point, last couple seasons, that would have been 13 guys out, and they are probably starters.
Right.
So I think we're not having the injuries we had. So I'm very happy with a later in the season bye. But I think like last season, we needed that week four or week five bye. Like, we thought, oh, this sucks to have an early bye. But then it got to it, and we're like, okay, we need this right. week off for some guys to get healthy.
When I was looking it up, I noticed that the Vikings are on week 12.
Okay.
For FYI.
You know, they've really been looking at a lot of it where a lot of these younger coaches coming in now, the Matt LaFleurs, the Sean McVays, they're having less injuries and less serious injuries that linger on their teams. And it's because we're getting a lot of science and data around how to help avoid these. And it comes down to what you do off the field. It comes down to how you're practicing. Mm-hmm. And they think the biggest factor that they have found is sleep.
Huh.
If players don't get enough sleep, they get injured a lot easier. And it doesn't heal.
Right.
So these young coaches are prioritizing that for their players. And it turns out the players haven't been arguing with getting to sleep more.
Yeah, I could imagine.
So
I saw that if you look in the injury report, there was players listed. It wasn't really an injury. They didn't practice, but it would say like veteran time off or something like that.
Okay.
So that's going in the same
yeah.
pattern that you're talking
mm-hmm.
about, is that
keeping
they're being
guys
smarter.
Healthy.
The old way of doing it, you get them in football shape and
well,
you keep them
they
going.
Need to be taking hits. They need football shape. They need right. to go out there and get hit a lot so that when they get hit later, they're used to it.
And that's why I think some of these older coaches,
less hits the better.
They don't like the changes that mm-hmm. the NFL made, less contact in preseason, less contact during the season.
Yeah. Well, they don't like the changes, but also I think a lot of them just, we have the science and the data now around keeping guys healthy, but a lot of the old coaches just don't adapt. They have a way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And the NFL, you adapt or die. It's been like that for decades. You know, it evolves on its own, and college football evolves, and then the NFL catches up to college
yeah.
football.
That's
and
right.
NFL coaches who don't catch up to the NFL catching up to college, you're really behind the game there.
And that's what surprises me when there's a coaching opportunity. Somebody's on the hot seat, and you know they're going to get fired, or they did get fired. So they start talking about these coaching prospects for the teams. And they bring up these old coaches. It's like, I mean, today's NFL, I don't think I'd be looking at a guy that's close to 70 because unless he can change. I'm not to mm-hmm. pick on people that are older, but if you have to, and which is really hard to be able to adapt as the NFL changes.
I mean, it kind of goes, I know we're really off topic because we haven't done our picks yet, but it kind of goes back to what we were saying the other week where we probably need a wide receiver right now
mm-hmm.
and people are debating, do you trade for one or do you wait for the draft and draft one high? You can have the first pick in the draft mm-hmm. and it's still a lottery.
That's right.
On if that wide receiver will be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Use your trade, your high value. People pay tons for these lottery
right
draft picks. So trade your lottery tickets for guarantees.
That's right.
Why not?
I agree with you. And the way our season's going, the next draft, we're going to be drafting way down in the first round. So if you're looking to get a stud, it's going to be basically end of the first round or the quality of a high second round receiver. So
yeah, so it'll be interesting to see.
All right, brother.
Picks. First one we have here is Vikings at Lions. I'm going with Vikings.
Are you?
To give you a heads up.
I'll go with the Lions.
Lions at home?
Sure.
All right.
I think it should be a good game, but you never know.
You never know.
Sometimes when you think it's – I like when they talk all week about a game that's going to be, we're lucky if they can score two touchdowns in the game. It's going to be just a defensive struggle, and then it blows up 45 to 20-something.
Saints at Chicago.
I'll take Chicago.
Take Chicago? That defense?
Yeah, and I think, you know, Teddy's eking out some wins, low-scoring games. The Saints' defense is doing the same thing as our defense, keeping them in.
I mean, I'm really impressed how they've adapted to having Teddy. A lot of teams, I think you bring in another guy and you want them to play like the guy who's injured, the starting quarterback who's not in there. They understand Teddy Bridgewater is a different quarterback. They're letting him be more of that game manager, just move the ball on those 3-4 yard passes, keep it moving, and they won't put up the big points,
right?
But I think, you know, they're still finding ways
to win. Who'd you pick?
I am going with the Saints.
You are? Okay.
I think they're a really good team.
They are too. Yeah,
not that you disagree, but I think they have a defense that, well, it's not as good as the Bears. It can match them, especially because I don't think the Bears offense is as good as the Teddy Bridgewater Saints offense. Either.
Really? You don't?
I don't.
Okay. Yeah, and Teddy isn't your typical backup either. I mean, I think they're paying him like $7-10 million
a year. I wish we had
Teddy
as a backup.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they were willing to pay that much for him.
No, probably not.
But
our last game to pick here then is Raiders at Lambeau against Z Packers.
I'm going to go with the Pack.
I'm going with the Pack as well. Another week. Lions were coming off a bye, had time to prepare for us. Raiders are doing the same thing. Coming off a bye, have had 2 weeks to prepare for how to take on the Packers and Rodgers and this defense.
Mm.
So I think that always makes the game more interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
But we've had a good record in this season and previous seasons of playing against teams coming off a bye. So
all right.
I'm excited.
All right, sir. Well, good job.
Yeah, so we agree on Packers winning and going to 6-1, leading this division, and in the 100th season of the NFL, bringing the Lombardi Trophy back to Green Bay.
Okay, until next week,
go Pack, go! I was going to say Green Bay, bringing it back to Green Bay.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!